Honestly, guys, I love it tonight because you are a close family. I think we've been working with all of you. We've all been close. We've all had conversations. And it's only by the grace of God, honestly, that we're even standing on this platform. And those are awesome things that Pastor said about us. But at the same time, the hair on the back of my neck stands up because I know how unworthy I am. We are. So, man, we've made a lot of mistakes, but just to get here, we've been given an opportunity to share with you what God's been doing. I've had a lot of questions over the summer. Where have you been? Are you here? Are you in Africa? Are you in Uganda? What's going on? And all these things, and there's some confusion, and some of the youth even asking, what are you doing now? Like, you're away again, and all those things. So I'm hoping that tonight would be an encouragement, first of all, that by the grace of God, God can do anything with us. He can do anything if we just let him do these things. So by the grace of God, we're here. About 2 years ago, Angela and I, I'm assuming it's 2 years, it could be three. We basically said, Lord, we're going to make a covenant with you, and this covenant is in missions and stuff like that, if we're going to just say yes to whatever you open, whatever doors, whatever you put in front of us, we're just going to say yes. And be careful praying that if you want to keep your energy levels up and stuff. But God's been really amazing. So we're just going to touch tonight on what God has done and how confusing it can be. It can be very confusing. And so if you guys think you're confused, by the time we get through this, you'll realize where we're coming from. So with that said, 2-3 years ago, we said, Lord, we're just going to say yes to anything you put in front of us if we see that that's something we can do and we can use ourselves, waste ourselves for you. And there's just two words that kept ringing in our ears back then. They ring in our ears all the time, and it's this, just do something. Just do something. Don't think about it, procrastinate, make plans, just do something. Do something, whether... And we'll talk about what that is. So,
okay. So we have three missions personalities. So if you're wondering where we are and who we work with, we wonder sometimes too when we're there. So the first one up there is Word of Life and Student Fusion. So that would be the missions, summer missions that we've been taking over the last several years. We've been quite a few times to South Africa and to Uganda, and way back a long time ago when this all started, we were to Russia. So that is Word of Life, Student Fusion. That is one of the ministries that we work with. Over on the other side is ABWE Canada, and that is who we work with for Uganda. So we're actually part-time missions with ABWE Canada. And it was actually Betty Reed that helped us facilitate that partnership because we had started raising funds for Uganda, but we needed a way to receive donations and properly receipt those donations and keep us some accountability. So that is how we are with ABWE. And then the middle one is SIM, and that stands for Serving in Mission. And I actually work for them full time. That's my job. I am executive assistant to the international director. So that's why I'm not around sometimes. So if you wonder, where is that girl? Where has she been? She's not at church. Well, just maybe ask Victor if he happens to be here, or ask my parents. I do a lot of traveling for work because I help facilitate the global leadership meetings and things like that. So that is our schizophrenic triple personality in missions. And then if that doesn't confuse you anymore, you can't see that too well, but how did we end up here? Well, the first map up top is South Africa. And that's where we've done Student Fusion. The other side is Uganda. And we went there with Student Fusion, but then we support it through ABWE. Whew. Okay. And then the bottom map is actually kind of represents where our family is right now. So you'll see on the right side, there's a little red spot on Pottersville, New York. That is where Annie is currently at school at Word of Life Bible Institute. One of the really cool things that she's been asked to do this year is to be the mobilizer for young people for student missions. So she'll actually be going and traveling around to youth events, and she'll be the one at the booth encouraging them, telling them what it's like. So all of your input into Annie's life through Sunday school, through preaching, through encouragement, through prayer, through giving, through ministry together, this is where it's led to. And this, who knows where it will go, but this is where it's leading to this year. So your input in her has facilitated that happening. So you come over from Pottersville and you come over to Toronto, and that's us. That's where we are right now. And then go all the way to the left down there, and that's Cedarville, Ohio. That's where Emily is right now. She's studying. She's taking her degree in biology with a pre-med stream, and she'd like to go into medical mission. So who knows if that'll happen? Who knows if those doors will stay open? But again, that's because of the input that you've had in her life over these years. So really, the church is about mission, and the church is about raising up young people, raising up old people, supporting and praying for mission, and that's our job as a church.
Was there anything else you wanted to say about that? We had so much to put down, so I just need to look here. Like, we want you to know that, you know, so when Emily and Annie were here and we were in the gym over there, they were yay big. And some of you taught them in Sunday school and things like that. You were in missions. You didn't know that. So when you're doing Shine and VBS and that, you're in missions. Because you don't know who's in those groups. So I praise God that both our girls, their plan, if that's God's will, is going to be going overseas doing missions work full time. What I want to get across tonight is that there's something the church in North America did that was an error. And here's the error. They divided church, the church people and church, and missions. So they're different entities. They're different things. So they're the missionaries, and we're the church people. And my point tonight is that we are all on missions. So the church is about missions, and the mission is about the church. There's no difference. The two are one thing. So if you walk away tonight, that's kind of what the flavor I want you to walk away with. That, so when my daughters were little and you guys were pouring into them, you were in missions, even way back then. You just didn't know. And so tonight, we just want to tell you a little bit about what in the last 6 years have kind of done and God has done is when we say yes. When you just say yes to God. So there's Student Fusion.
Can I mention one thing? Sorry.
Yeah.
Just one thing. I just came back from our global leadership meetings, and that's where I was for the last 3 weeks. And we had a lot of mobilizers there, and their heart's cry was, we need the church. We need the church to prepare people for the mission field. We need the church to pray for people on the mission field. We need the church to give to people on the mission field. The church and missions are partners, and that was the heart's cry of our mobilizers. We need to get out to the church. We need to motivate and encourage the church.
So for the past 6-7 years, we've been privileged to lead young people anywhere from 25 to 42 on a trip through Student Fusion, which is Word of Life Bible Institute, overseas. So they do 6 countries, 7 countries every year. So if you know a young person, hey, Robert, if you feel called to missions and
hey,
see what it's like, and James, Willie Jr., we will help you. We'll help you get on board and see what God can do. And I won't go into the fact some people don't believe in short-term missions. I don't either. Because you carry on what you learn overseas here. There is no short-term mission. There might be a short-term over in another country, but it's about building the church for missions and to be missionally minded. So we've been honored to do that. We came back from South Africa this year. You know, we went to Uganda. We've been to South Africa 4 times. And just looking at some of these pictures, you might get a flavor for it. Maybe your team, like this year, they built a wall for some young children in a daycare facility in South Africa. Now, those walls are up there to protect the children, by the way. Maybe you will do some church ministry and then do one-on-one evangelism with the children and see children come to the Lord. Maybe you'll dig a hole like that in that little corner there on the left side. That's a hole just to put a light in a property so that the kids can play soccer at night and then hear the gospel through the soccer presentation. And maybe every day at the end of the day, I don't know if you can see that, but that's what happens to you on the mission field as a young person. You think you can outlast the old people, but you can't.
Victor took a picture of that girl every time we were on our way back from ministry. And he just told her, "You're so young. Look at me. I'm awake. You're asleep. What's the problem?"
So I put this collage together and I said, "Old man wins." Because that's what she was like. That's what many of them were like at the end of the day. So if you want to challenge a young person, if you know a young person, you want to challenge them to step out and see what God can do with them, come to us. We'll mobilize them. We will get them involved and we'll support them and we will edify them to go and do these things. Just one more note. Many call these trips a game changer. So they get out of grade 12, they go on this trip and they have this design. They're going to go to this university. They're going to go here and that. We've seen, even in one trip alone, seven 18 to 22-year-olds change their whole shape and go to Bible college because of what God spoke to them on these trips. So it's an amazing thing. It's given them a mission mindset.
So one of the places that we did go, that was last year, was Uganda. And we took a student fusion team there. So you guys mostly know about the ministry that's been going on in Uganda and the lunch program that has been started there. I just want to give you a little bit of an update. So the kids have been eating for over a year now, which is totally amazing. And we do have enough funds to feed them for another year. So what we're really doing is seeking now to figure out a sustainable way to keep that going. We've had some administrative challenges recently. The gentleman who was helping us to facilitate the program, he's left the mission. So we've had a little bump in the road, but we have partnered with now Pauline. She's up in the top corner there. She's an amazing woman with a heart for God. And one of the reasons that Ian left the field was because he could not get support. He was a national, but he could not get support, and he was unable to stay in the ministry. So that was just one of the reasons that he left. Pauline is employed by the international school there. We don't anticipate having the same challenges with Pauline. And what Pauline's been doing, she was a natural fit because she takes the kids from the international school over to Tezuka K, and they do ministry there. They have a reading program and a math program, and then the kids from the international school, they donate their used books and their used textbooks. So it has really snowballed into so much more than just a lunch program. Permission to farm the land has been denied. We told you last time, I think, that we were trying to get that so we could do farming and create that kind of sustainability. So, you know, we're just really looking at other options. What can we do to best use the funds that the Lord has given? And just to see that program continue, I would hate to see that stop. The director of Uganda, Word of Life Uganda, is coming over in November. Victor will be meeting with him, and they'll be having some more planning about how that's going to work going forward. But the one thing I want to say is that Tezuka K School is not a Vic and Ange project by any stretch of the imagination. This is an NFBC project. I don't know if you realize that, but the majority of the funds that has been feeding that school for over a year, and we have enough for another year right now, has come from this church. I don't know if you understand how significant that is and how life-changing that is. You are very involved in mission. So now take a hold of that and pray. Pray for these kids. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their growth. And pray for the impact that they're going to leave in their country that we cannot leave.
So this whole Uganda thing started because of Student Fusion. We took a group over there, and Ange and I were kind of versed in the way that missions work and things like that and what to expect. And so we expected all the same thing, but God had a different plan. So I've already said this before, but we went to this school, we started playing with these kids, and they were falling over because they had no energy. And I realized that it's because they don't eat probably every 2 or 3 days. Half the kids are orphans. And so at the end of the day, I was so grieved the Lord spoke to me, and it was this verse in Matthew 25:34, and I know it's a little out of context. I don't want to get into the full meaning of this verse, but these are words that I heard when I'm standing there on this field with these kids, and it was, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with them, and they will sit on his glorious throne, and he will sit on his glorious throne, before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, I read that in context, but this is what I heard standing on that hill. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And this is a great, beautiful response. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or when you were naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And it hit me. I've been doing missions for a few years, but then it hit me that there's this huge practical need right here, right now. What are you going to do? And that phrase, do something, came into effect. So we decided we're going to do something. I don't know how it's going to go. Angie and I don't know at that point what we're doing. We still don't know what we're doing. We don't. We just want to obey God. We want to say yes to the doors that open and then watch what he does. And so this is an amazing thing that's going on in Uganda. You have to see this. There are more than half the kids on the street are orphans, and these kids get to go to school. But this international school with Word of Life, the kids, they're not well-to-do, but they're the well-to-do in Uganda. They go down to this school and help these kids, and the missionaries from Word of Life go down there and preach the gospel to them. And the kids from the international school say, these kids are bad. Well, like not, they're bad off. So the poor kids are saying to the lesser poor kids, they are really, I'm going to give up my lunch for them. I'm going to give up my money for them. So here's what I'm saying is when you decide to say yes to God, you got no idea all the branches that are going to stream out from that. So now the international school wants to work with this school. And Pauline, which is the girl on the other slide, she has got such a heart for these kids. She's going down there twice a week. I got a text 3 weeks ago, and it showed five of the young ladies, or the older ladies, in that school, all five girls standing there in their school uniform, and all five of them asked Christ to save them, and they sent me this text. So just by feeding this school, not only do those kids understand Jesus is feeding them, the missionaries are feeding them spiritually, but the whole community is saying things like this. What do you mean those kids are eating every day? What do you mean those kids are actually eating protein? Beans? Rice? What? Why? How? This is what's going on, and you guys are a part of it. It's incredible how little it takes. So, go ahead. Oh, well, wait a minute. I want to play it. So these are little children on the left. I don't know if you can see them. Hopefully you can hear them. This is how they greeted me last time we were here.
Yes.
Cool thing is that Emily and Annie taught them that song when we were there, and they actually took it in and learned it. And you'll see another little group of kids singing that same song later. And the cool thing is, too, the kids in Jamaica, 11 years ago when I went, they taught me that song. So it's pretty cool how it's come around like that. It's pretty awesome.
I have to say one more thing about Uganda. And I've said this before, I've never seen, I think other than Zimbabwe, this is probably one of the most poor countries in Africa, and I have never witnessed people surviving like this in my life. And so here's Pauline making, this Princess Pauline, she's a teacher at the international school, she's making survival money, but she is investing so much into eternity, into these kids. And a week ago, this is what she posted, and I just want you to hear her heart. This is a missionary you guys would be supporting when you've given and whatnot and in your prayers. And the reality of what these kids face. She writes, I have been helpless this past 2 weeks. Not one day has gone by without hearing someone I know and love has died or has lost a loved one. Dear God, death is deafening. The loss of a loved one is a pain no one can ever imagine. Everyone's grief is different, and the helplessness of just trying to help is just so helpless. You allow both life and death for reasons only you can explain, a mystery we can never comprehend. And it goes on to say, you said in John 11:25 that though they may die physically, we shall live again with you because we, or they, and our lives have trusted Christ as our Lord. Thank you for waking us up this morning. So when you go on missions and you go to these countries, you start to realize how privileged we are here in Canada as well. So I just want to thank you for grabbing on that vision, because I'm just going to tell you that over $20,000 has been raised to support and pay for food for these children. And they know that Jesus gave them that food. They pray before they eat that, and they thank Jesus for the morsel they're about to eat. And it's humbling. And so thank you for that.
So we get to meet people like Pauline, and they become part of our family. That's why we put Tezuka K family up on the last slide. And now we've got our Wolza family. That's where Life South Africa. ZA is the South Africa letters. And we have now been there 4 or 5 times. I can't remember. And they really have become family. And we've come to meet amazing people and work with amazing people. So it was a great joy to go back this summer and to work with that same team and to see how the team has grown and developed, to go back to some of the same neighborhoods. When they were digging the hole in that previous slide, you saw Emily and Annie and a young gentleman there. His name's Josh. We got to meet him last time we were in South Africa. We took him to his first movie ever. He's 19. So we get to go back and meet him. He's now in the discipleship training program there. So it's amazing. It's such a privilege. It's just beyond what I could ever imagine.
And now he wants to be a missionary to reach his people. And in South Africa, not only that, the South Africans are being given a vision. And their vision is this, is to move north and northeast. And so these men that we are meeting and seeing in the discipleship program, going through Bible college to become missionaries that we now get to support, want to go to Zimbabwe. And they have gone to Zimbabwe twice. And they're going into Mozambique doing running camps. And these men, they eventually want to go all the way up. And they want to go all right into the heart of Islam. And they know that they're going to die for it. This is today. And so just supporting missions, just supporting one kid from this church to go over and see what God can do in a country, is the ramifications are incredible. They look at Westerners coming over with the right heart and stuff. They are bewildered that they're, most of them are finding themselves to go and do this. You would pay to come here to tell me about this Jesus? Well, then I will sit and listen to you, because I have nothing. You have everything, and you spend that money to come and tell me and pay money for a plane ride. Like, it's just, it's such a blessing and a privilege to go and do that. And so one of the things we've talked about is that you're never too old to go. None of you are too old to go. None of you have an excuse. None of you. And if you really feel God tugging at you, we can set you up with people that will keep you safe, and you'll go and you'll enjoy and you'll see. But God will transform your thinking. He really will. But that transformation comes back here. And you continue to think about your neighbors maybe in the same way as a missionary would. And, you know, we say it in Christendom. We say it in Churchanese. Oh, we're all missionaries, and my neighbor is my mission. Well, they are. They really are. And sometimes we're so busy in life, we get so busy and we're tired. And I know I do. I'm at work and I just don't want to talk about the Lord. And I get it. It's hard. It's tough. But our focus needs to be missional. The church is a mission. It should be a mission.
One of the amazing things is the relationships that we've been able to form over the years. And I don't know what the Lord's up to, but he keeps introducing us to new African directors. And we keep just meeting them. I don't know. He's up to something. I know he is. I just don't know what it is yet. But I'll introduce you to Spoo and Diana at the top and Tato and Ashley down at the bottom. They have been with Word of Life South Africa for quite some time right now. They're both from the area. Tato grew up in Soweto, and Diana's from Zimbabwe. Spoo is from Zululand, and Ashley, down at the bottom, she's from Bahamas, and her parents' church and home was destroyed in the recent hurricane. He's the pastor of the church. So we have developed a great relationship with those couples over the years, and it's amazing to see how they're being mentored, and the leadership is moving on to people who have a local understanding of the country and have a passion to reach out into their own country. So we've had some amazing relationships, and Victor, tell you a bit about Ruben on the other side there.
I just want to talk quickly about Tato, the one on the bottom there. That guy's got a heart for youth. He sings, he does camps, he does all these things. Part of what I think God is doing with Ange and I, too, is that we want to raise support for these missionaries. Just missionaries we've known over there for over 5 years who are solid. They're like Jacques said, they're going to finish the course no matter what. They could leave South Africa and all the things that go along with it and go to the U.S. They've been to the U.S. to raise support and things like that, but they choose to go back to some of the scariest places in Johannesburg, to win the kids to the Lord. And Tato, apparently, if you are over 25 and you come from Soweto, that's a miracle that you survived, you lived. Anyways, the guy on the right there, his name's Ruben. I mentioned to you that they do a ministry. Tato does a ministry through the jails called Busasa. And our team came over, and our teenagers and my daughters who went to this men's prison. And at the time, I didn't realize how serious this prison is, but it was minimum murders and rapes. All the men inside. Not stealing, no theft, no armed robbery. Rape and murder. And out of Busasa came this young man named Ruben. And because Tato for 4 years went in there and was teaching them the word of God, and he was saved in jail. Well, this man's now part of the DTC program for South Africa, Word of Life, and he's an evangelist. The guy is totally on fire for the Lord, teaching, winning, talking. And he knows, he understands Paul. He said, Paul was a murderer and so was I. And I don't know if you can read it, it says, I love the new me, like it. So I guess that's your Facebook, like it. Like it if you live the new you. So he's completely transformed. It's thrilling and also scary to talk to the guy because just the transformation, the nonchalant about his past life. Excuse me. But you could be praying for Ruben because he's in the program, he's going to Bible college, and he wants to be a missionary and tell the gospel the rest of his days. So,
yeah, Ruben went straight from jail to the program. So he has not yet been outside of that program. So when he finishes in December, he needs a lot of prayer. He needs, as he goes back out into the world and tries to find his feet, he needs to really hang on to the Lord. Amazing story, that guy, Ruben. And when we left, he said, thank you that you trust me and that you're willing to befriend me. Because he told us what he had done. And he was just so grateful, and he just so understands the grace of God. This little guy here, Prince, not the little one, but the other one, I wish Emily was here because she can tell a great story. She can paint you a picture, you know, about the dust and the bright sun and the chill air. You know what I mean? I can't really do that. So we had Sunday school. And Sunday school consisted of a little circle with the little plastic chairs. You know those little plastic chairs you get at the dollar store? So here am I sitting in my little plastic chair out in the dust, and it's cold, and it's sunny, and we're just singing songs and having such a great time. And this young man, Prince, sits down beside me. Prince has a very big Bible, and he's a very little boy. He has a very big Bible. And our story that day was about the five loaves and two fishes, and it was about the provision of God. And we just said at the end, okay, guys, do you have any questions at all? And here's this little 9-year-old boy, and he plunks down his Bible, and he just opens it up. And he's clearly been reading his Bible on his own, this little 9-year-old boy. And he says, well, what about this one? Well, what does this mean? Okay, good. Then we move to the next one. What does this verse mean? And what about this here? What does it say about Jesus here? And this little 9-year-old boy was so hungry. He just wanted to know about the Word of God and what it all meant and what it all said. And so when we got around to it a little bit more, we started talking about sin and the need for a Savior. And I just said to him, he said, well, how do you stop sinning? How do you stop doing the bad things that your mom asks you not to do? And I said, well, you need Jesus Christ for that. I said, he's the one who gives us the strength to live. And I said, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins? Did you know you could do that? And these crocodile tears come running down his cheeks, and he looks at me and he says, but miss, don't judge me. He says, I didn't know. And I said, but you know now, and I've told you. And he goes, that's what I want. I want Jesus to be my Savior. And he prayed, and it was just so awesome, sitting on the little plastic chair in the middle of this field looking out over a township. And I thought, I have the best life ever. I have the greatest gift to be part of that. And it has nothing to do with me. Any of you could be in the same situation. It's just been a great gift to me. So Prince, that's a new church that Word of Life has started a regular weekly club in. So we know that Prince is going to get good training as time goes forward, and he's going to continue to grow in Christ.
Just leave it for a second. Okay. So that's one of the biggest problems of South Africa, is that they want to know, but there's so much false teaching there that they don't know the way. There's so much false gospels being preached there. It's saturated with it. So when you come along, a lot of them will say, yeah, I've heard it before, but they haven't. They've heard a form of, or a negative form of. So when you point out and let them read the scripture for themselves, you can see so many times this light go on and immediate conviction. And is that any different than our VBS here? No. Our outreach in this community, one of the major things, and a lot of you here in this room have played a part of it, praise God, is our VBS. It's to tell people, kids, and then their parents about Jesus. I was really thrilled to hear just one story about our VBS here. As missionaries, you guys taught, and then this little boy was so moved about Uganda that he went, and he's not a church boy, he came home and he said, I have to do a lemonade stand. He did a lemonade stand that day, or maybe the next day, and he raised $150 so that the kids could eat in Uganda. So I guess my point is this. In missions, and when you're doing mission work here in VBS, you haven't got a clue what God's going to do with that. And what's really interesting is that little boy's father works with Glenn and I, and we've given him the gospel for a long time. It's unbelievable. So when you decide to say, yes, I'll serve, what you're really saying, yes, I'll serve in church, yes, I'll serve in worship, or yes, I'll serve in VBS, what you're really saying is, Lord, I'm saying yes to serve in your mission, in missions. So I want you to think about that. It's not just overseas, it's here. And it says every tribe, every nation. And we had one before, it said across the street, right? Yeah, across the world, across the street. It's true, because I did say earlier that the church has made an error by saying, this is church work, and church people, and church Sundays, and this is missions. And they're missionaries, and that's what they do. And what has happened is the North American church has said, well, I don't do that. I do church, and I don't see that here. I don't see that so much here in Newcastle. I see people saying, we're on a mission, and we're fulfilling the mission, Matthew 28. I want to be a part of that, because if you're not, you're missing out. I just got to tell you, you're missing out on what God can do through you. So in South Africa, if you see what it says there, Nelson Mandela, he did, everyone, I wouldn't say worships him, but puts him on a high pedestal as the freedom fighter that released them from apartheid and the oppression of colonialism. And there are posters and paintings. That was like a painting, chalk painting on a wall at this school. And it said, it always seems impossible until it's done. And I took that picture because I thought of this. Every tribe and tongue. Well, you know what? It seems impossible until it's done. And it hit me. That's it. Some people don't get involved in any kind of mission work or serving in the church just because they're like, it's too big. It's not going to happen. And who am I? I got nothing to give. I'm not a teacher. I'm not this or that. Or I don't have any money or finances. But you know what? You got something. You got Jesus, your Lord. And you can serve. You can do something. And it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible, right? So this is, I would say, on the last trip, this was a typical morning out of five mornings. We had 15 minutes to come in here and present the gospel on this porch there. And that's what rolled in, the whole school. There was about 1,200 students that came down and got the gospel. And it was almost like I was standing there, I was thinking, when Jesus looked over the myriad or all the people, he had this compassion. And I stood up on a balcony, one of those balconies, and I looked down, and that's what I couldn't stop thinking about. Look at the number. Look at them all. And we get to share the gospel with them. Now God does the rest. We know about that 15-minute window, at least one guy gave his life to Christ. He said, that's what I want. I want that. That's what I want. And so if we had just gone over, we prepped for 3 weeks or whatever it was, raised money for 4 months, took a team of 42 people over there, went over all the baggage problems, hassles, security checks and everything, all the just to get to that day for 15 minutes and one soul is won, then we won. That's victory, right? So what can you do in 15 minutes? What can you do in 15 minutes with your neighbor or your mom or your dad or your cousin who doesn't know the Lord? Somebody said that it just takes 3 minutes of insanity, which would be telling them the gospel. 3 minutes of insanity just going, do you know about Jesus Christ? Do you know that he died for you? Just getting it out there could change the eternity of somebody. That's all it takes. Just, it could be a complete stranger. Try it. Just go up to somebody if the Lord moves you and say, listen, it's going to sound crazy, but do you know that Jesus died for you? And see what happens. 3 minutes of insanity. Or 15 minutes with 1,300 kids. Do you have anything?
I'm trying.
We're doing good.
Are we?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I was going to tell, I think in the email that we sent about this school that's shown here, we were there two or three times. And the last time we went, I guess someone on the staff caught on that we were coming, and they invited someone from their church. They invited someone from the, I don't remember what it was called. Anyway, the woman got up, and she preached false gospel 100%. After we had given, we had done a very powerful skit, and she preached the false gospel. And it was, she basically told the students, if you become a Christian, everything will be perfect. You don't need to worry about anything. You will never fail. And Annie was sitting right beside me, and she's clearly her father's daughter. And she said, you have got to stop her.
Right in the middle of this whole thing, she says, I'm going to stand up right now here and yell, stop.
She said, you can't let this go on. You have to stop her. I said, Annie, I can't. There's 1,000 people here. They're trying to build a relationship with the school and go back. I said, I can't just stand up and yell, that's enough. You know, she said, well, I'm going to do it. And I said, don't, just wait a minute. Hold on a second. But in the little corner where we were, there was 6 girls behind us. They were in their last year, matric, they call it, so grade 12. And my heart was racing, and I was just so anxious. And I thought, I can't sit here. And I just turned around to these girls and I said, girls, I just have to tell you the truth. I said, she's not teaching what is right and true, and she's not teaching what's in the Bible. And I thought they would kind of scoff and laugh at me. They all leaned in. And I said, your life will not be perfect if you receive Christ, but he accepts you because you're not perfect, but you asked for his righteousness. And I got a really clear opportunity to share the gospel more with them. And I said, I don't want to be disrespectful. I'm sure this woman is a nice woman, and I know she's your fellow countryman, but I said, she's not preaching the truth, and you need to see what is in Scripture. And then I just turned back around, and I have no idea what the Lord will do with that. But I did get the opportunity to clearly share the gospel. And then afterwards, Annie went down and talked to the lady. So, with respect, I think. Yeah, and they had a bit of a conversation, but it was our whole team got to see how there is the false gospel that's preached there, and that's part of what you're dealing with on the mission field, especially in Africa.
So, just to add on to that, that the missionaries at the end of the day said, we won here today. I said, what do you mean? We are now invited to come in and do regular Bible clubs with anyone in the school who wants to come in just because you guys came. And that happened in 4 high schools when we were there. So now regular gospel, true missionaries, biblicists will be in there teaching, and anyone who wants to come can come. That's the freedom they have in South Africa right now. And when Anne says they leaned in, they literally lean in. They leaned in because they know that there's a God and they want to know him, but they know there's so much error, they don't know who to believe and trust. So they said, we won today. And now you, the Western Church, he says, take it back to the Western Church and let them know the kind of warfare we're in. The false gospel. And we're here to undo all that. So so I just will show one more video. So if you go on mission trips, and many of you have. And, you know, one of my favorite things on a mission trip, you think it'd be like preaching or street evangelism, something like that. But it's actually just maybe sitting in the dirt with an old man who's dying in Uganda, being the only one there. Or sitting with children and then just loving on them and giving them the gospel. And so we were at this daycare, and this is the last slide we have. I just watched this little girl, and I thought, that's every kid to me. So they're singing a song, and just I want you to see the joy of serving.
I think James has to turn it on.
You have to turn it? Okay, James, let her go.
Waking, walking with Jesus, I'm sleeping. Waking, walking with Jesus, I'm sleeping. Waking, walking, sleeping, waking, walking.
I kind of wanted that to be the last slide because sometimes we do serve the Lord and we can begrudge our service and we can lose our joy. And then he wakes you up and shows you something like that. He said, suffer the little ones to come unto me. Right? It never gets old. It doesn't get old. And so everyone in this room, I know your deeds. I know a lot of the stuff you guys do, and I appreciate it. I pray for you guys. I'm thankful for you, for what you do. So is the whole elders board in this church. Sure. I'm just going to end with this. Because missions, our missions conference next week, and unfortunately I have to work all weekend. I'll be here on Friday and maybe Sunday night. But I'd encourage you to spread the word that people need to come. Talk to your brothers and sisters. They need to be here. Because they need the vision that's been given to us by God. We have forgotten it. We have forgotten what the mandate for the church is as a whole in North America. Matthew 28, 18 says this, "And Jesus came and he said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you.'" And this is the great promise. "And behold," like, "behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So in every ministry you do in this church, everything, I don't care what it is, if you have the missional mindset, you're doing this to better and build the kingdom of God and that his name be glorified, whether it's vacuuming, teaching, opening the doors for people, going to people who don't know, we don't know, they just came to the church, and introducing yourself. If you do it with a missional mindset that this is for the glory of God, this is to make disciples, you'll be blessed. And so I just wrote this last little thing here. Guys, you do something. A lot of you do something. You do a lot. I just don't want you to think about the majority do things and we get tired. Keep on keeping on. It's worth it. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And say yes. Sometimes you need to say no for your sanity and for your health and for the. It's okay too. But say yes when you know God wants you to do something. Serve him in missions. And a lot of you do in this room. I know. I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak. Use your spiritual gift. Use what you've got. You know, where you're at. Where you're at work. Where you play. Teams you might be on. Or where you work in a restaurant. Or go out of your way. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So Hebrews 12:1, I'll end with this, is this. "Therefore, since we are surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so closely clings," or clings so closely. "Let us run the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy," doesn't that blow you away? "Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." There is so much joy in ministry, but I understand being tired. I understand begrudging it sometimes. I understand sometimes not wanting to even come to church. I get it. We're all human. But there is great joy in being part of this mission. And if we live every day with this missional mindset, it changes things. It does for me. The day I don't think like that, it's the day I do gripe and grime. It's the day I get really tired really easy and I can't complain. But the days I think of what the Lord has called us to do or me to do or whatever, and the mission that he's put before us, the race that he's set before us is this, is to preach the gospel and watch him save. And then take those people who are saved and make disciples of them. And then there to do the same. It's pretty simple. So with that said, I want to again just thank you for all your prayers over the years, your input into my daughters, your support of us through prayer and all the rest of it. This is where we're at. We have no idea where that's going to go in the future, but we are encouraged God will do something, and we'll just say yes. Okay? So I'm going to pray. How about that? Or do you want to pray? Sure. All right. We'll put our hands together as we do every Sunday night.